Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, back in studio, joined as always by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, it's good to be back on the program with you. I feel a little rusty, knocking the rust off in the midst of a busy week. And boys, I got to tell you, I got nothing today. I don't know what we're going to be talking about. So it's going to be a little free form exploration. Here on the Happy Rant, we're very busy people. The three of us are in high demand, and we're running a lot of different places. I'm actually, Piper, traveling this week, so I'm going to be living the kind of lanyard life that Ronnie Martin has grown accustomed to over the years.
Are you speaking at something, or are you attending, or what capacity are you traveling?
I'm attending. This is the glitz and glamour known as the Southeast Journalism Conference, so I'm taking students. I usually take like 7 or 8 students. We go to just a super glamorous locale here in the Southeast and listen to some usually really bad talks and win some awards for our newspaper and magazine and do a bunch of fun stuff in the evening. So it's kind of all about the evening stuff. Like last year, I took them roller skating and we bowled. We played a bunch of Guitar Hero. So it's really all about the evening time.
That sounds super retro. I guess the real question is, are you going to wear your most ill-fitting clothes since it is a journalism conference?
Dude, yeah, schlumpy, dumpy. Like, I need to actually engage Andy Stanley Pipe on that idea that we talked about. So I need to be able to dress for the journalism program I want, not the one that I currently have. So maybe I can talk to A. Stan before I hit the road here, because I want to be able to travel in style, you know?
Yeah, what was the slogan we came up for? It was like
dress for the church you want to have, not the church you currently have.
There we go. So, that's... Yeah.
For all those dumpy pastors out there, you could be doing better, fashion-wise. You know,
you're good to go. You're not a dumpy pastor.
It's all about fashion. They go fashion first in Sojourn. Like, that's the first seminar that you sit through, and then everything else
fashion forward.
Everything else kind of falls into line. But
yeah, that's the only one they ever have me teach on, by the way.
That's actually the only one they have. You know, it's a whole
weekend.
Unless your wife is involved,
then you get to speak about real subjects because she has things to say. Is that right?
We've done one of those, but it was still all
dude. See, they go deep. They go deep dive in Sojourn. I mean, you can have a little breakout about boots, about boot care, jeans,
Christmas,
you know,
Christmas posters.
Where exactly to put the razor cup cart?
They call that their boot camp.
Christmas posters. That's right. How to fall into the perfect photo shoot for your Christmas card? I mean, it's the important things, you know.
It is.
Boys, like I like to say, unity in the essentials, okay? As long as we can, as a group, kind of come together around the essentials, I think everything else will fall into line. But
unity in essentials and non-essentials, essentials and in all things...
Fashion. In all things fashion. Nice jeans.
Fashion, right. Did I get that quote right, Piper?
I think you re-engineered it just sort of perfectly to the ethos of... who you are, where you serve, and your denomination. It's perfect.
I've never said that quote once in my life until right now, and even then
absolutely.
You do need to, however, keep your missional mindset when you're off with the evangelical free people, because none of the things that you just said fits the khakis and polo crowd. So you're gonna have to keep, you know, sort of fashion evangelizing. How do we mix those words?
Ron, do you consider the EV free guys like a mission field fashion wise? You know, like you go into that context and you're just like, you know, guys, I got some stuff on my heart that I want to share. And by literally on my heart, I mean this flannel that I'm wearing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I was at the EV Free Theology Conference at Trinity.
Baby, that sounds like a party. And, whoa.
Oh, yeah. It was big. Still recouping. Head is hurting. Yeah. Heart is thumping. You know what I mean? From all the house music they play, like before and after, like the main
all the EDM
sessions.
Yeah,
again, we still don't know what that means. Yeah, all the EDM CFA. It is literally like it's a Sahara desert of like khakis and
baby, you know what we need to do to make it rain money? We need to start a khaki company and we need to sell to those guys.
Oh my goodness. Are you kidding? I just don't want
Yeah, exactly. I don't want the temptation of all that self-reliance and money.
I'm going to decline that because that's
all that
money
showering down from the heavens on you and me, baby.
Yeah, money just raining from the sky with khakis. Absolutely.
You know, so you know those subscription clothing things that you can do. That, yeah. I feel like there needs to be a pastor version of that. Like I'm ashamed we didn't think of this for the Andy Stanley one.
Know,
we kind of did, but not really. But like every 8 weeks, you get a new pair of pleated khakis, and there's some that are like the very pale khakis. Those are good summer khakis, and then you have the darker ones, and those can be worn more with
Winter khaki, a dress khaki, if you will.
Yeah,
yeah.
Possibly a nice corduroy pant in there somewhere.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
And then, you know, if you're a polo guy or if you're like an Oxford button-down guy, there are so many options just built around the men in ministry.
Piper, you guys know.
That opportunity.
Dude, okay.
I've got connections in the garment industry. Like, we could make this happen.
You mean like a sweatshop in Indonesia or what?
A guy who knows a sweatshop
easy,
in Indonesia.
Easy,
so,
okay.
in a way, yes.
I know a guy who knows a guy with a sweatshop in Indonesia. Dude, check this out. True story, right? So, dude, it is still, believe it or not, man, it is still in a lot of circles like a subversive thing to wear jeans, like when you're preaching a sermon. So I was preaching at a guy's church one time, and he was gone. He was like out of town, so he asked me to come in. This wasn't that long ago. And so whatever, man, I come in wearing the standard big R, you know, outfit. I don't remember what it was. It was what it is.
Jeans, a flannel, and a military jacket.
And
done.
I mean, probably a version of that. Yeah, I'm not thinking. I mean, I look tidy. I look nice. Whatever, you know. It's right.
No.
So it's not sloppy. It's tidy. And
tight being the operative
this
word.
Guy, tight being the operative word. So this dude comes back and he's also, how did it go? I said, it went fine. Whatever, everybody was nice. Blah blah blah. And he goes, you wore jeans.
Oh.
Huh? And I said, I said, yeah, I did. He goes, this was his line.
Yeah.
You guys ready? He said, and they let you. And I said, well, dude, I go, yeah, no one like stormed the stage.
Dragged
and,
me
like,
off.
Tackled me, pulled off my pants, threw on a pair of khakis and said, okay, now you can preach. So like, I go, yeah, I guess they tolerated me,
dude,
if that's what you're saying. I go, nobody said anything. The elders didn't like, you know, the elders weren't like standing there like holding crosses and like storming the stage with like pitchforks.
The church is like one of those formal restaurants in like an 80s movie where they have a couple of sport coats like on hand in case somebody comes in without one.
Well, dude, for real. And I guess I was the first guy that ever hit.
They're like, Ronnie, here, we've got some khakis at the coat check stand. We're going to have you just slip these on.
For real.
Did they also have a Christian flag on one side of the stage and an American flag on the other? I feel like there's a real good possibility.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
That's tough. See, yet another reason to start the khaki business, I think.
Although Ronnie brought up, he used a phrase without realizing that it was a brilliant branding slogan, because that's the genius that Ronnie is. He said, in some circles, wearing jeans is subversive.
Mm-hmm.
Subversive Jeans is a great brand name.
Absolutely. Sell them to Baptists. You know, hey, guys, you want to feel a little dangerous?
You go through Acts 29 for all the church planters who were like in the SBC. Be like, here, these are your subversive jeans.
Ooh.
Yeah, you want to be like Eric Mason or Matt Chandler?
You want to be dangerous like Matt Chandler? You know.
To be fair, Matt Chandler does a lot of like pastel polo wearing, jeans that are not tight.
Although I wonder, Pipe, if he's doing cowboy shirts now and like bolo ties, since he's a steak maven, since he's a rancher. Yeah.
He is a steak
maven. I feel like
he
might just get dressed up to go to the ranch, and then he's cul-de-sac dad the rest of the time or something.
Yeah. Definitely
cul-de-sac dad. Poor Maddie Chan. Maddie Chan, if you're listening, man.
Man, I just realized that was really mean. Cul-de-sac dad is a really harsh phrase.
Hear
I'd
this,
like to
though?
Apologize. That was so awful.
It's probably a heck of a nice cul-de-sac, if you know what I mean.
Maddie Chan's probably
dude, the
like,
kind of money that it's raining on Channy, it's a really, really nice cul-de-sac. So,
he probably has a front driveway that is like a cul-de-sac. You know, just one of those big circles. It's like his driveway is the cul-de-sac.
Exactly.
He doesn't like live around this thing.
It's a private cul-de-sac.
Do you guys think Ferdy would buy a pair of subversive brand jeans? Thinking like he's like kind of.
Do you think he could pronounce subversive brand jeans?
He'd be like, somebody help me out with this word. Is this French? Is this a different language? Como se dice
subversive?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. Guys, we got to start a company together. You know, there's so many good ideas flying around her.
I thought
there's such synergy.
Feel like we're just waiting for an investor. We've got just portfolios of ideas.
We do.
We just need somebody to come and be like, "Hey, here's $70,000."
This episode is essentially a pitch meeting. So, if you're an investor, if you're a venture capitalist out there and you're looking for the right business idea to throw your dollars behind, just listen to the last couple eps of the program. I feel like the synergy has been great. And it's only a matter of time before Subversive Jeans or Schlumpy Pastor Khakis really go global. And we got to get a piece of this action, you guys. We got to get a piece of this like garment industry money, because it's flowing. This is our destiny.
Baby, I don't know, man. Whenever I watch Shark Tank, they always say that the garment industry is like the hardest
thing. Baby, I know it is, but I'm not realistic. That's my problem. Like, I'm not a realistic guy. I just want to have a khaki company. Is that asking too much?
Everybody's trying to be cool. We are zigging when they're zagging. They're like, hey, what do the kids want? We're like, no. What do the middle-aged pastors want?
Exactly.
And it's an underserved market. I know that, like, Hagar khakis have been killing it for decades, but we can get a piece of that pie.
We can. Yeah, Hagar is like, are they like a Christian company? Because I feel like they're just outfitting pastors at this point.
With a name like Hagar, I hope not.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, are you being funny now, Pipe? What's Hagar?
You don't know what Hagar khakis are? You clearly weren't raised by a Baptist pastor.
I love it.
No, I've never been in a Baptist church.
They're like Dockers except dumpier.
Pipe,
is that Pipe, possible?
It's hard to believe.
Are you talking about something mythical right now?
It is hard to believe, but it is true that Hagar khakis are dumpier.
Does your dad have like an endorsement, like merch deal with Hagar in the same way that like Kobe Bryant has a Nike deal? Did Hagar like sign him 10 or 15 years ago to an exclusive like kind of life rights thing?
No, I think the way it's worked is that my dad has never signed a contract with anybody, but he keeps getting pitches from the different dumpy khaki companies, and so he gets like boxes of merch, and so he just lives on the free stuff.
I love that your dad gets merch. I love that he's at that level. That's so dope.
And then
baby, Johnny P would never sign a contract.
Baby, Johnny P hasn't paid for a pair of khakis in 20, 30 years, probably.
I doubt it. Yeah, I mean,
man, what a life.
The last new pair of khakis he bought was when Barnabas died.
That's a better life. That's where I want us to be. You know what I mean? Just candidly.
And then occasionally he'll get free swag that's really nice.
Yeah.
So maybe 10 years ago, John MacArthur's ministry sent my dad a really nice leather coat. Not like a bomber jacket, but like a really nice leather coat.
Yeah.
The kind that you smell from like 15 feet away and you're like, oh, that's fine leather.
Yeah.
And he just refused to wear it.
Made from the skin of liberals.
Yeah. liberals and baby seals.
Exactly.
Pipe, what did Johnny do with the Driscoll jacket that got bestowed upon him that time?
I don't know.
Whoa, you got a Driscoll jacket?
Dude, you got to find that out.
That was at a conference. Driscoll presented him with one of the, you know, the jackets with like the little, like the big shoulders and like the buckles and whatever else. He gave him one of those at a conference.
Whoa.
Dude, it was so awkward watching. I saw the clip of that where he's trying to put it on. That was so awkward.
That's incredible.
And then somebody else gave my dad like multiple pieces of Patagonia gear a couple winters ago.
Nice.
So it's the stuff that weighs like negative 11 ounces.
They mistook him for a 19-year-old Wheaton student.
That's right. Oh, you're a Wheaton grad. You clearly love Patagonia. No, not that. Arc'teryx then? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Or just like,
hey, I've never seen you in any other outfit than the one I'm looking at you in, but here,
right.
Try some clothes that are $300 a piece, and that will actually turn your stomach to know that.
This will keep you warm if you're ever hanging off the side of a cliff, you know.
I think I made my dad sick because he was like, you want these? And I was like, Dad, that's a $300 jacket. He goes, how much is it? That thing's made out of nothing.
Nice.
So he just...
He was not grasping the concept at all, was he?
And so I volunteered to take them off his hands, and then my mom insisted that he keep at least one because she wanted him to wear something nice. And when I came back this past Christmas, there was no Patagonia gear anywhere in the house.
Dude, I love Noel coming in the clutch saying, Johnny, I need you to think about
it. That's right. That's a really nice gift. Or maybe it wasn't so much that you wanted him to wear it as he had just gotten it like 24 hours before and he was already like foisting it off on someone.
Piper,
delightful.
You know how Michael Jordan kind of put Nike on the map in terms of basketball? I mean, they were a very small like running shoe company in the late 70s, and they signed Michael Jordan in the early 80s. The business goes through the roof, and of course the rest is kind of branding history. I feel like, could we sign your dad to be sort of our Michael Jordan for this khaki company? because we're going to need a big kind of front guy. I mean, not to cast aspersions on anyone in this room, but I feel like our fame, the three of us, isn't really enough to carry the company. You know, we're like second tier Nike guys. We're like the Boogie Cousins of the Nike empire compared to your dad's Michael Jordan.
Babe, you don't have to apologize.
We know who we are.
Here's the thing with that idea. Yeah. I think I see this more in like there are stages. So we got to get, you know, we get the company off the ground. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's sort of what was his name? Is it Phil Knight, the Nike guy like the Nike Cortez and stuff back in the '70s? I don't know that my dad is the right khakis guy. Here's what my dad is. Mm. When we bring in the tweed jacket, it's like when Nike started doing golf and went to Tiger Woods.
That's like year two or year three of the launch.
So I think my dad could be the Tiger Woods of blazers for this company. We need a different Michael Jordan for khakis, though.
Minus all the weird sex stuff, obviously, that came with Tiger Woods.
Infidelity not included. Also, still at the top of his game, unlike Tiger Woods.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, do we even need to qualify that, boys?
I feel
like qualifying things is a wise thing to do.
Oh, I qualify everything.
Gee whiz, Barnabas, why would you say that?
I don't know. Apparently, there are rumors of bad things happening in various churches and amongst church leaders around the country. I mean, that's what I've heard.
Again, why rumors. I'm part of the Evangelical Free Church of America.
Dude, not if they're wearing schlumpy khakis, man. I feel like our guys are going to be exemplary. So we're gonna sign only the best talent to rep our khakis. Now, do you see this being a business venture where... Like, are we going to conferences and setting up a booth and kind of selling them there? I mean, Ron's already going to be at the comps.
Well, of course.
So, you know, do we make him the brand ambassador and just have him in a booth selling the khakis? How's it going to look?
No, we're going to have mannequins, baby.
Oh, I want mannequins too, of course. I mean, you can't have a clothing company without mannequins, for sure. Can we get like a dumpy mannequin, though, to kind of replicate the physique of a lot of these pastors?
I think we need to do like a fashion show, you know, like, so go to like, get one of these conferences where literally the MC and every one of the speakers wears these khakis. And so it's sort of it's our version. It's like the pastoral version of a catwalk.
Yeah.
Since we can't actually get them to walk the catwalk, they'll just walk the stage with the lights and everything. I think that's how we make our big splash. Like maybe,
dude, and we sell it to the pastors.
T4G next year. I think that's our big splash.
And we sell it to the pastors as like an opportunity to be on the same stage that Kevin DeYoung walked on. Like, we give them their one little moment. You know, like, if you put these khakis on and walk across the stage, you'll get to experience like a taste of what it feels like to be KDY doing a plan, you know? So it's like half fashion show, half like fantasy camp for these guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, we spend a lot of time on this podcast talking about what it takes to get to be an A-lister, to get on the main stage, and I think we've missed the key ingredient, and it's these khakis. So maybe
absolutely,
if we can, yeah, we sell them to all of these like B, C, D listers, and then like every letter thereafter, and say, you know, this is the missing ingredient of your main stage success.
All right, so here's what we need, boys. Let's talk brass tacks. We need an investor. All right. So deep-pocketed investment types, if you're listening, and I know you are, reach out. Let's have a business meeting. Let's see how it feels. Let's see if there's synergy in the room, and let's go from there. Because I think this thing, this thing could be a cash cow, boys.
Do you think we need any like khaki focus groups to figure out like what number of pleats, what shade of khaki? Because you can't start a full line. You have to start with a limited line.
So crease
to
or figure no out, crease, like,
what is our starting point?
Yeah. Yeah, we got to suss all that out. I mean,
yeah, cuffs or no cuffs. Yep. I feel like it's a strong possibility it's cuffs, but just making sure that we are certain.
Exactly. Don't want to jump to any hasty conclusions on the khaki.
You also need to be short. Like, the belt loops need to be just inconveniently spaced enough so that the pants always kind of fall out from under the belt just a little bit in the back.
Yep. That's
an essential. Yep. Can't have proper belt loopage.
Ill-fitting is actually going to be part of our approach. So...
maybe that should be the name of the company.
Ill-fitting khakis. Ill-fit. I love it.
I think,
and you said, don't say it as two words. Say it as one word. Ill-fit.
I love it.
And then I think we also need to make sure that we eyeball every measurement instead of actually measuring. So if pants are supposed to be like 34, 32, maybe they're 34, 32. They might be like 36, 30s, though. So, you know, they'll just rise a little high and sag a little low, and that's okay.
Dude, it's ill-fit, man. You just
get what you get.
When
you, that's right.
When it's you kind of like guess fit. You just don't really know.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it. This is good, boys. This is really good. Let's get an investor. Let's have a meeting. You know where I would love to have a business meeting about this? And I'm just thinking, like, consolidate our efforts, no wasted motion. Boys, I would love to take a meeting for Ill-Fit Khakis at Indie Live. Listeners, if you're not familiar, Indie Live is a very, very glamorous live show program. This will be our third time doing this. We've done it in a different city in the past. It's been no less glamorous, though. So Indie Live is taking place, Windpipe, March 31st.
March 31st at 7 p.m.
at Soma Church and Day Spa in Indianapolis.
So guess what a listener informed me of?
What?
About Soma. So we were thinking of other things that are Somas as well. That it could, apparently Soma is also a lingerie line.
There you go. Nice. Nicely done, so Soma Church.
I feel like we could maybe work that into a marketing pitch, but maybe not if we want to stay employed. I'm not sure how this works.
Hey, they're in the garment industry too, you know? Everybody's got
synergy,
a lot of things
folks,
going.
Synergy.
Absolutely. So, Soma Church, March 31st, 7 p.m. Boys, I don't know about you, but these live shows have become highlights of my travel calendar. We're all very in-demand people, lots of conferences, lots of lanyards for the three of us, but my favorite lanyard by far are our live show lanyards. These are fun. We do two shows, kind of standard, and then our third show is a Q&A with the audience, which always gets really kind of raucous and out of control. But I love these live programs. You should go to happyrantpodcast.com. You should buy yourself a couple of tickets to Indie Live, take a special someone, and then also purchase a bag of Lagares Roasters coffee. We are in the coffee business, soon to be in the khaki business. But boys, if this khaki thing takes off at even a fraction of the level that Lagares Roasters did, we can go ahead and buy the summer homes. I mean, let's just kind of handshake that. You know, we'll pick a location. We don't have to be next door neighbors, but somewhere nearby would be nice.
But let's be close.
We can take our meetings in person, and the show will be better for it. Speaking of neighbors, Ron, I know you can't disclose a lot on the program. But what's the ebb and flow of people moving in and out of the Ashland area like? Any updates on that, man? Demographic wise, what are we looking at?
Hold on, guys. I'm just reading my 15th Merton quote on Twitter right now.
Okay.
So that's looking strong, okay. Big T. There's a lot of play going on mm-hmm. that corner yep. of Ashtown. Yeah, there's a lot of movement. In fact, there's some. As of like the end of last week, like how shall I phrase, heck of a lot of movement. If that gives you a clue of what's going
on.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, man.
So, names being signed on dotted lines for various different agreements and residential kinds of things.
It's like
or
this.
What?
It's hey, I'm giving you the name of the eventual person whose name you're going to have to sign on their paper kind of a thing. I just screwed that up. You know what I'm saying, right? It's like me with the like an all things charity thing.
How does it work as a pastor when you butcher all your quotes?
Oh, dude, there is not a quote on Sunday, and I'm not a high quote guy anyway, but I butcher everything, and I just make a joke about butchering it, and everybody laughs, and it's better that I didn't even get it right. But, we're getting close, boys. And when we get closer to the final moment, I won't have to be as vague, and we're going to make those announcements right here.
Baby, you know what we're going to do? We're going to break news, which is a thing that we used to do on the Rant when the Rant was more of a news program. And I used to like rip some things off the wire and break a little news on the program. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a big
game. You better pull the breaking news jingle out of the old drop bin and get it ready for whenever that happens.
Dude, yeah, I will, man. I'll get things ready here in the studio so that we're good to go for that big announcement. But Indie Live is really the big announcement. Piper, how do you feel just conceptually? You don't have to say yes or no right now. How do you feel about doing the promo read in the middle of the program? Like, hypothetically, if I asked you to do the promo read right now, is that something you would be able to do for us?
Here's the thing about promo reads. Mm-hmm. I'm a natural and I was born ready, so you say go and I'm ready.
Anywhere, any place, anytime, I'm down.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, I'm doing a promo read.
Well, here's something for you, Pipe. Go.
Yeah. What, do you just want me to go with this particular one, or like you're going to throw something at me random and just see if I can do
Apparently, Pipe can't go when he says go.
I've got two things.
You said, here's something. I was waiting for the something. I was like, oh, do you want me to pitch like your socks or like Ashland or what?
Pipe, I want you to do the promo read for our actual sponsor.
Oh, an actual sponsor.
But then I've got a little project for you, and Ron, I think, will enjoy it too. So let's hear from the actual sponsor.
All right. Our actual sponsor is a gentleman named Joe Waller. You heard about him on the last episode. He is an author of the book As I Learned to Walk and other poems. If you enjoy the book like the Valley of Vision, the Puritan Prayers and Poetry book, this is akin to that, but written in English that we speak today, as opposed to lots of these and thous and wherefores and whatnots. So it's prayerful, it's devotional, it's definitely devotional poetry, which that's one of my favorite kinds to read. I like two kinds of poetry. I like real life sort of time, place, you know, kind of storytelling poetry. And then I like devotional poetry that's evocative in that way. And that's what Joe has done with this. He self-published it, so it's available at Amazon, or you can go to 5roundrocksmedia.com to learn more. And again, it's called As I Learned to Walk. So if you're a poetry reader or you're just looking for something to sort of engage your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, and kind of stir the spirit a little bit, you should check this one out. Again, it's As I Learned to Walk. You can get it at Amazon or 5roundrocksmedia.com. Check it out.
Pipe, does he look like a poet?
Wow.
He looks like a youth pastor, but not like a cool youth pastor from like 1996, like the kind of youth pastor you would actually trust your kids with.
Oh, that's good.
He looks like he might actually teach the Bible to kids.
Wow.
He's young looking. He's clean cut. He's wearing a shirt that like that fits him appropriately.
Whoa.
That also looks age appropriate.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, boys, is there a ministry position that takes like less brutal hits of brutality than the youth pastor role? I mean, these dudes, like, I mean, dude, to even be one of those guys, you're just up for like the most vicious, like, form of
savagery.
Savagery. I mean,
counterpoint, how many of them have brought that directly on themselves by being clowns?
Well, of
I
course,
say this
but, like,
as
what
a
about,
former
like,
youth pastor, so this is... This is
what
coming
about
from
what about
the,
those three
the
youth
know.
Pastors that are actually like legit? What about those two in Iowa that are like really like
or like Joe Waller, who seems very legit? He's studying theology. He looks like he has himself pulled together. I've actually met him in person. He talked to me in person about this potential sponsorship like months and months and months ago, and I was just slow to make it all happen. And he is as respectable in person as he appears to be in a photograph. So yeah, he's one of the two.
Wow. High praise.
Nice.
That's high praise, Piper.
One of the two.
Yeah, well, he's earned it.
You know what, Pipe, being that you're our resident promo read man, the Michael Jordan of the promo read, could I have you maybe put together on the fly a promo read for Ill-Fit Khakis? Because if we're going to launch this company, obviously we're going to do some deep dive, like podcast sort of ad buys. And I want to know what you would do with our company vis-a-vis a promo read.
Hey, Ted, really quick before Pipe goes, I have to lay out a concern. You keep pronouncing it as two words, and I don't know that we can continue before you start saying Ill-Fit.
Okay, I'm hearing what you're saying, Ron, and what I'm hearing is you want me to say it faster. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm hearing that, like, I feel like our branding, I don't want our branding to begin. Like,
I don't want our branding to be weak. We need to go strong to the marketplace with Ill-Fit. So, is that better?
That wasn't. Okay. You need to go Ill-Fit.
See, but that doesn't fit very well in a sentence. As somebody who's trying to spin up a promo read real quick here, like, there's saying Ill-Fit just sounds like you're choking. Like, you know...
I think you need to leave this one to me, fellas. Just roll with me on Ill-Fit.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll do my best with Ron's strange pronunciation of a word we just made up.
Well, that's why we're original. That's why it's gonna go someplace because it's something we invented.
That's true. Yeah,
I had no idea starting a khaki company would be so hard. I feel like already we're fighting.
I know I'm talking to a couple of Baptists now. I know you guys are struggling with
baby,
that.
Baby, listen to me. Nothing divides people like khaki. I've seen this happen so many times. And I just want to know that if we start this company and a lot of decadence rolls our way, that it's not going to rip us apart. You know what I mean?
Baby, these are gospel.
Of course
khakis,
they are.
Man. They're going to bring us together.
They are.
They're going to be
unifying redemptive khakis.
Do you think we should put five cleats on there just for the sake of theological unity?
One One pleat for each sola. Absolutely. Five solas khakis.
Five pleats, five like buck, whatever you call it, like belt hooks. I mean,
boys,
belt
if we hooks. Called it if we called it five solas khakis, seriously, we could sell the H out of these.
I don't
things.
Want to be that rich. Money is a temptation to me.
Baby, it's a huge temptation.
But here's the thing. Like I think that's actually that could be a mistake though, because so many of the ill fitting mm-hmm. khaki wearers
they're not Calvinists, are they?
They're not Calvinists. Right. They're like cranky fundies who are not interested in like we want to be all things to all dumpy khaki wearers, as the Apostle
Paul
would say.
They're the other side of the SBC.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. They're the old school SBCers, and so
they're the 94% of the SBC.
What if our tagline was all khakis to all people?
Whoa!
All khakis Thoughts? To all pastors or all people?
All pastors.
I want to spell it ILLFOT. Just to be kind of
Ill-fot?
Contrarian. And
what about an umlaut over the O?
Ill-fot. Well, it's kind of German.
It sounds German, like Kraftwerk. Let's do that. Yeah.
Ill-fot.
I'm not saying that out loud. I'm not doing that.
Why? Is it sounding a little too subversive?
No, that's our spinoff company. That's Subversive Jeans. That's our effort to reach the younger hipper church planter.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, boys, good synergy on the program today. This has been incredible. Can I run something by you in still in the marketing space, but kind of off the khaki topic for a minute. So as I think about traveling with my students and going to this conference, one of the things that we've looked into for an activity is axe throwing. So apparently affluent white hipsters got so bored that someone said, I wonder if it would be fun to throw an axe against the wall. I wonder if that would be a satisfying feeling. And now there are like places, there are like clubs that you can go to pick up an axe and throw it such that like the blade of it sticks into the wall. And this is an activity that we're probably going to do on this trip. So my question to you two gentlemen is, where is this on the scale of like hipster ridiculousness? And follow-up question, have you ever done axe throwing as an activity, like for a men's retreat or anything of the like?
Ron, I feel like you've probably led more men's retreats and have hung out with more hipsters than I have. So I'm going to defer to you for the
call,
initial
Pipe.
Answer.
Good call.
So check this out. We did this men's retreat in September and we went to this new place in part of the cell. You're not going to believe it, boys. Was they did, wait for it, axe throwing, skeet shooting, like bow and arrow, whatever that's
archery?
Called. archery. Yeah. There you go. There's the official
bow
word.
Shooting. Yes,
but
right.
Bow shooting. There it is. There's the better word. But here, get this, man. Here's one of the pitches they made to us was that they had a 24-hour bacon
nice.
Bar, like on the premises. And I said, well, what does that mean? It says it means that we keep like this big fridge of raw bacon and we keep like this grill that just is going 24 hours and you can just come grab your bacon and just throw it on the grill and you can like, you know, experience like true masculinity.
Oh, so it's like a cook your own bacon bar.
Wow.
Totally. Oh. Yeah, totally.
How exciting.
Man.
So I did all that. I did axe throwing. I mean, so like I did all of that stuff literally last
week. And did it bring you closer together as men? Did you guys feel more manly?
It brought me closer
sure.
to God.
Of course it did.
It brought me closer.
By that, do you mean it cut enough years off your life that you're literally closer to
yeah,
dying?
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much. Like my arm is still hurting from that experience. Throwing those – literally, every time I threw an axe, I thought the axe head's going to fall on my foot, and this is just not going to end well at all. And, like, the whole time I'm thinking somebody's going to get hit with the axe.
Baby, were you kind of relieved when it was over? Did you breathe a sigh of relief? Like, gosh, I'm glad that's over.
Oh, dude, I just was like – because, I mean, everybody that walks up looks at Big R and is like, oh, dude, this is so not your thing, is it? So, like, I'm constantly being reminded of that. Everybody's cracking up at me the whole time because they're like, oh, look, it's Pastor R trying to be a man.
So they're not celebrating your masculinity. They're like, in a sense, they're taking shots at your masculinity. So it served, like, the inverse purpose.
That's all it was. Like, I was
to be fair, nothing is more masculine than making fun of other men for not being masculine. Like, isn't that, like, quintessential masculinity?
That reminds me of a Gillette commercial that I've heard so much about lately. But,
that's
you're right. So
those guys clearly were Harry's Razors users, not Gillette users.
Being that I'm an academic, I'm not allowed to acknowledge gender in any way. So I really need to respectfully bow out of this conversation.
They would never wear ill-fought jeans. or khakis. It doesn't matter. Anybody that doesn't wear ill-fought is just doesn't matter.
JB, I don't know that I'm sold on that. That name.
Yeah, that I think that's okay. A little too avant-garde for the market we're going for.
Dude, because...
You say tomato, I say tomato, boys.
Baby, this crowd that we're trying to sell to, they're not... They're the least avant-garde people imaginable. They're gonna struggle
with
that.
But even hipsters at times have to put on a pair of khakis. I'm just saying we should at least have like a shoot-off, like an offshoot that like has ill-fought on
so
it.
So that the hipsters like, can feel good about it.
They'll be like skinny khakis. Ill-fought will be like the skinny khakis.
There you go. There you go. I like it.
Anyway, is that better, boys? Do you feel better?
I do feel better. We're solving
problems. Yeah, I think with that sort of fleshed out a little bit, it makes a little more sense. It's sort of a subsidiary line for, you know, the, I don't know, the gender neutral.
Are you guys going to be disappointed if we don't have a business meeting about this in Indy? I kind of am. Like, I've kind of got my heart set on that.
I'm going to be disappointed if a listener doesn't show up with a check for like 25 grand as seed money.
Yeah, like an angel investor. Is that a thing?
I mean, minimum.
I feel like that's a term that I've heard.
What, an angel investor?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the, instead of trying to collect investors, you get the one person who just like funds you.
That's what we need. We need an angel investor. And also it has spiritual connotations on account of the word angel in it.
Which church in the United States, church/pastor would be the most likely to come together with like a love offering angel investment to get this thing off the ground?
In our tribe, we should say like a Calvin investor.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to get all mystical and talk about angels, even though the Bible talks about
like
them.
Like a Lutheran investor. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Do not, never mention
absolutely
the A word
not.
Again. Big
yeah,
T.
No, it's get that word out of your mouth, everyone.
So guys, we need a Calvin investor.
We need a Calvin investor. Who's it going to be from our tribe? Project. So it's got to be somebody with some cashish who doesn't already have it tied up in like a steak company. So Matty Chan driving his King Ranch, he's out.
But I want it to be enough money to where none of us have to work for 15 years. Whether
oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So who's it going to be, man? Who has that kind of bank?
I mean, I think we got to go a little outside of the tribe, unfortunately.
How far outside, though?
I mean, I don't know.
We're not going. You know? We're not talking Fernie outside the tribe, are we?
Nah, he's well. We he's know the wrong we, demographic.
He's got
this.
The money, but he's the wrong demo.
Oh, I know who.
Who?
I know who. Plus, taking their money would make me so happy. Who's the First Baptist Dallas guy who's constantly saying absurd political things?
Ed.
It's not Ed. I know who you're thinking of. You're thinking of the guy with the spray on tan who's a little crazy. Yeah. No, I'm thinking of Dr. Robert Jeffress.
I don't even know who that is.
Got it.
Okay, well he's a
pipe. It's Jeffress. It's not Jeffries.
It's Jeffress.
Jeffress.
J E F F R E S S. Robert Jeffress. So he is the. He's the pastor,
guy?
I think, at First Baptist Dallas.
Yeah,
and he's very much in favor of our current presidential regime. Let's put it that way, very outspokenly. But I mean, it's like a hardcore old school Baptist church, and if it's First Baptist Dallas, they have more money than God.
He's got a book that he wrote called "Countdown to the Apocalypse." Gosh, I wish I'd written that.
I mean, look. Doesn't a guy like that, if he's not wearing like a charcoal gray suit, isn't he wearing ill-fit khakis?
Absolutely.
That is our angel investor. I'm sorry. What are we calling it now?
A Calvin investor.
No, not if we're going into First Baptist Dallas. We're not calling it a Calvin investor.
Dude, Bobby Jeffress is no—he's no Calvin investor.
Yeah, that we'd have, it had, like what about like a Charles Finney investor or a I don't know. Pick your favorite Arminian.
Yeah,
I don't have any favorite Arminians.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
C.S. Lewis?
I don't even know an Arminian. That's so outside of my tribe.
I'll tell you what, I like
Arminian. What is this I'm referring to?
Pipes, I'm not going to lie to you. I like the look of this guy. I do. I think this has legs. You know, I think this is our guy. He's our brand ambassador and our angel investor. I like it. Ron, any other
thoughts? Honestly, if he's writing books about the apocalypse, maybe angel investor, maybe it should be like the angel of death investor because
exactly.
I feel like that would really speak to him.
Exactly. No, I dig it. I dig it. I like this guy a lot. Do you guys, can I share a business, little anecdote with you guys? I tried to read, so every business book that's ever been hot, like I read it a decade late. So that's sort of the timetable of how these things work. But somebody gave me finally a copy of that, that kid who wrote the book, like the 4-minute work week or whatever, the 4-hour work week.
Yeah. Tim Ferriss.
Yeah. boy, what a douche. So I talked to my creative nonfiction class about like authorial persona, like how your narrator sounds and, you know, like how you want your narrator to sound. And like some of the stuff he was saying was interesting, but I found his persona like so insufferable in the page.
Yeah, he's like an entrepreneurial Holden Caulfield.
Oh, he's worse though. Like Holden Caulfield, I kind of low key liked. Like I would hang out. I would spend a day with Holden Caulfield and have a fine time. But like this Ferris man, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do his persona for even like a third of the book. I had to tap out. So I'm sure you.
What's his name?
Tim Ferriss.
He wrote The 4-Hour Work Week. He wrote like 4-Hour Body. He wrote like he's kind of crazy, and he goes into like deep dive research on how to more efficiently do things, but it's all built around essentially being privileged and having unlimited time to do things. Like if you have to hustle to make money, like most of us, to survive, it doesn't really work very well for you.
Yeah. Anyway, I figured you guys were familiar with the book. You've never read it, Ron?
Oh, dude, I never read stuff like that. It just has. I'm just not.
Yeah, me neither
at all.
But wouldn't a 4-hour work week be right up your alley, Ron? Wouldn't a 4-hour work week be right up your alley?
I mean, it's technically what I have anyway, which is
exactly. You're like, I've got this. I don't need to read a book about it. This is the life I'm living. You need to be the evangelical version of that guy, baby. We've talked about this, but I think that's.
I just, dude, my mind. That's not my
evangelical rest guy. Kind of. You know, the pamper yourself.
Yeah, well, no, I can be that. I can be that guy. Yeah, but there's already a lot of those Sabbath guys.
Really?
There.
Is that thing kind of popping?
That whole Sabbath thing.
Really?
Hot, right?
Oh, that's fascinating. Like who in our?
Oh yeah. Like nobody knows how to rest, and pastors.
Oh
are
yeah.
Out and,
like go
yeah,
pamper all, yourself. Who's like that. Saying that in our tribe? It needs to be you.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I mean, I do say it, but on a less prominent level, but it's like, it's kind of it's a thing. I mean, definitely like one of the things about Sojourn is that, you know, that's kind of one of their major themes is like,
pastoral oh, for rest. Sure, man. Don't we know it? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Dude, I knew you'd run around with that,
baby. A retreat per week. Isn't that how it works?
That's the motto.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's when it's all you can do.
Yeah. As soon as your like congregants begin to know your name and your phone number, like it's time to get out of town for a few weeks.
Well, I mean, you know what? We can't.
Baby, you can't be all things to all people, which is why you need to take some of that Sabbath rest time and start a khaki company. You know, give back a little bit. And the company is going to be our way of giving back to this subculture that I think has been so good to us as authors. You know, we didn't climb that mountain to being middling Christian authors for nothing, boys. I mean, this is what we've been clawing and scratching toward all these years, and it's finally going to pay off. Yeah. So, listen, I want you guys to celebrate. Okay, I want you to enjoy yourselves, and I want you to enjoy the evening, and then tomorrow morning at 8:01, it's noses to the grindstone on khakis. So, I hope you come to work with some ideas ready to hit the ground running on this thing. Pipe, anything else before we sign this program off?
Nope, just a reminder to get their tickets for Indy Live, happyrantpodcast.com, and lock them in.
Yep, happyrantpodcast.com, Indy Live, bring your baseball swag, 80s baseball swag for me and Pipe, T for Big R, get the swag train rolling, and until next time, boys, I guess we've done what we always do on this program, which is start a khaki company and wander to and fro throughout the topic. So until next time, Rachel the Held.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey, Ted, what do you want to do today?
Well, Ashley, I've always got work to do, naps to take. But I have a better idea. How about we invite everyone to listen to the Team Us podcast?
I love that idea. Let's do it right now. Hi, everyone. We're Ted and Ashley Slater, and we'd love for you to join us as we talk about teamwork in marriage.
We share how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
To listen, go to lifeaudio.com and search for Team Us.